Ron Wolf started Ron Wolf's and Associates, Ron Wolf, singular, rental property maven, been doing this for many, many years. At one time, I don't know if it's still current, but about 2,000 rental units in the Tri-County area. And he's been coming on for years in January to kind of give a recap of 2021 new rental laws and 2022 prognostication. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Ron Wolf.
Well, thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. And before we jump into the topic, during the break, we were chatting, and I looked down and forgot in the first segment I was going to mention the January 9th, 20 anniversary this week of the Montecito debris flow, and two people that I knew, Rebecca Riskin and Gower was her last name. Oh, now I can't think of her first name. Anyway, they were tragic deaths, and I just wanted a shout out to them. But as I was looking down at that, Ron mentioned that he heard last week's program, and he mentioned that I dedicated it to Keith Barry, and he hadn't even heard that Keith Barry died. And why don't you say what you said to me about Keith Barry?
Sure. No, I've known Keith for many, many years. We've managed property for Keith. We've sold property for Keith. He's been a personal friend, and he's just one of the pillars of real estate in my mind. He's an extremely professional. He set the standards. He was very innovative, very knowledgeable. And he's just going to be a great loss to the community.
You couldn't have said it better. I agree 100%, 100%. We worked in the same office for many years, so we're gonna miss Keith Barry. Okay, so Ron, you are managing, started this company, Ron Wolf & Associates. You manage apartments, single-family homes. What's been happening? What kind of year have we had on the federal, state, and local levels? Probably at the beginning related to COVID, right?
Yeah, it's been a bit of an unusual year. It's been an active year. We also manage some commercial properties, so we've seen an impact there. A lot of what we've seen this last year has been related to COVID. That's coupled some and probably exacerbated some housing shortage issues, and that has generated some focus on rent control, tenant rights, and interestingly, spread out in different jurisdictions and sometimes conflicting areas. So we saw federal laws, we saw state laws, we saw local laws, and differences in the local laws between, say, Carpinteria and Goleta and Ventura. And it's created some real challenges for owners and management companies to balance these and try to stay in sync with what the regulations are and make it all work.
Yeah, we run into that sometimes in sales. And do you have to abide by this, whichever one of the laws are the strictest? Do you have to go, or do you go with the local over federal, or is it unclear?
Well, I was going to say you got to take federal over local because I think they take precedence. Sometimes they conflict a little bit, and you take it on a case-by-case basis and try to sort it out and do what you can to follow what the rules are.
In the first segment, I was talking about the low inventory. It's just off the charts. It's just cannot even conceive. No one could have guessed that we'd have such a low inventory. And you mentioned a low inventory in rentals. How would you compare it to prior years? Is it a new record low, do you think, in rental inventory?
I don't know that it's a new record year, but it certainly is low. I know there's a lot of frustration out there in terms of finding housing to some degree that has impacted the cost of housing. We are, however, seeing generally very strong applicants looking for housing. They're well qualified and would be a pleasure to have virtually all of them living in any units that we took care of.
That's good to hear. It's good that you have viable, good prospects, and that part of the business is churning. My guest is Ron Wolf from Ron Wolf & Associates Property Management. And thanks for adding that you also do commercial properties. That's just a whole nother kettle of fish. So you got federal and state. That's a shout out to the pescatarians in the audience. The federal and state, what about evictions? You mentioned that you have good applicants. There was eviction moratoriums. What's the status on that?
Kind of two different things. You know, typically owners and management companies don't want to be evicting tenants. The big challenge that we hit with state and federal levels were the moratoriums on evictions, which was precipitated by people not being able to pay rent. And to some degree, and I think probably a substantial degree, people impacted needed some of that rent relief. Unfortunately, there were people who were fully employed and able to make rent payments and just decided they didn't have to because they were protected by the moratoriums. But that's all passed now. The moratoriums have been lifted. The rent relief programs, which were welcome, I think, to residents and to owners and management companies, are still in progress, although they're starting to wind down some. But potentially 100% of the unpaid rent is still covered. Despite the abuse, they're moving forward. I think the administration of those, or at least in our experience, the administration of some of those programs has been pretty overwhelmed. But they're starting to wind down, and I think as they come to an end, it'll be because they've run out of money. I would encourage people, if there are any listening that have been impacted by COVID and having challenges dealing with the rent, they should definitely apply. It's not too late. There are two programs, the state program, Housing is Key, and the United Way program locally, and there are probably a couple others if they really needed to push out and look.
That's good to hear. Sad to hear that people who were making money just decided not to pay rent, and they probably apply for some of these programs. It'll probably get the money. I remember at one point in time, maybe early in 2021, that there was a ton of money, but somehow it couldn't be administered. It was supposed to be a combination of the tenant and the landlord working together, and the landlord would get reimbursed. But it did by the end of 2021. It ironed out where funds were distributed to landlords for back rent?
Yep, pretty much. The state had a program, and then local counties were able to elect out of that under certain circumstances. The state administers the Housing is Key program, which involved both the property owner and the tenant. They both had to apply, and the state would put the parts together and make it work. The United Way program, they only talk to residents, so it's difficult for a property owner or management company to get any information. But I know they're working hard on trying to solve the whole issue.
My guess is Ron Wolf and Associates, property managers for the Tri-County area, from single family to commercial properties, duplexes. Now, you mentioned, of course, that a landlord doesn't want an eviction because it's a time-consuming process. There's no rent being paid. And landlord, kind of a simple job, just pay the rent and you won't be evicted for the most part. I know you get some rule breakers and noise problems. And then, of course, the courts had closed. And so It was a whole a new set of rules for non-payment of rents, right?
Yes. You know, no landlord really, and I hate the word landlord, but no property owner or management company really likes to deal with evictions, and they're fairly rare. You know, in a couple thousand units that we manage, we maybe have two or three a year. So it's not something that happens all the time. It's certainly been more of an issue with the COVID-related rent debt. The courts are backed up. It's a complex process. If people need to proceed at this point, and we've heard of some, I think we've only had one, but the courts have published new forms to follow. You need to follow them precisely. There are notice requirements, date timelines, things of that nature. If you don't follow them, the courts toss them out, and you've got to start all over again. And bottom line, at this point, if you have any of those, it's best to, in our opinion, get legal assistance that knows how to deal with those effectively. The difficulty is, you know, not only do you lose a tenant, you got to pay money to lose a tenant, and better if you can to work things out with the resident. And
good.
Keep it all working.
Good. So here we are, January 2022. You think generally things are returning to normal?
Well, you know, about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, it looks like things are going to come back. We were actively looking at reopening our doors to the public, although we're there answering phones and dealing with things. You know, we're trying to minimize contact. Omicron seems to stick its head into this and is creating multiple challenges. We actually have 35% of our staff that's out due to Omicron, despite following the safety protocols and the rest of it. So that's certainly been an impact. That said, it's still a very, very active rental market. People are moving into town. People are moving out of town.
I can hear your phone in the background ringing. They're all looking for rentals.
You know, it's keeping us busy. And then the other thing that we're hit with as we move through this is just the cost of goods and the availability of goods. So when somebody moves out, you know, paint is more expensive, labor is more expensive. If you got to replace appliances, sometimes there's a couple months wait for them. So there's some new challenges coming as we're returning to, in quotes, normal.
I hear you. A friend of mine's fridge went out and different things going out, and thankfully you can walk into Costco with your pickup truck and walk home with a refrigerator right now. My guest is Ron Wolf and Associates, property manager. On the state level, Ron, you sent me a little bit of information. The numbers are staggering. 2,200 bills considered by the state legislature. And how many of those were signed by the governor?
Well, actually, the governor signed 770 is what I understand. The California Apartment Association tracks every bill and watches relative to the impact on the housing market. The report was there were 40 that specifically impacted the housing market, and I believe the governor signed 36 of those. Some of those related certainly to the COVID and rent issues. Many, though, are being focused now on easing the housing restrictions, getting things like ADUs, making it more challenging for cities and counties to frustrate the development of new housing product. They're pushing hard to try to create some new product, but it's going to take a long time to get there.
Yes, we've discussed this with other guests and creating the ADUs and allowing single-family homes properties to build more than one unit, no longer single-family home zoned. And but a lot of people are not projecting that it's going to be a huge impact. But that's interesting that out of the 770, he signed 36 directly related to the housing industry and trying to ease restrictions in construction. What are a couple of the laws that we should really be aware of?
Well, the ones that carry forward are the things you have to watch now. We have, as you have reported previously, rent control in the state of California under SB 1482 that sets guidelines for rent caps. It also sets just cause eviction requirements, but you have to be very sensitive to not step outside the law as you address those. The people want to be aware currently that the cap, which is computed a little differently than normal commercial CPIs, but each April they look at the CPI change from the prior year, and you can do that CPI plus 5%. So currently, the maximum rate you can do in any 12-month period is 9%, which is something we rarely see. I think increases that we see have been more in the 5 to maybe 6 or 7%, depending upon where they are and what's going on. But that's the legal rate that you can do, and it's important to remember that it's April to April. It's not month to month on the CPI.
That's interesting. Ron Wolf is my guest, Ron Wolf and Associates, property managers. So when you said rent control, you were talking about an existing tenant and a rent cap, and it's 5% plus whatever the CPI is from April to April, currently 4%. So the current rent cap is 9%. And in history, past history, you didn't find that landlords were raising the rent that much to begin with. But I think a lot of landlords are running scared, particularly those that maybe never raised the rent and now feeling stressed that they're hamstrung and they can't raise the rent. So now maybe they'll go to the entire 9% when before they might not have raised the rent at all or maybe kept it at 5%. I don't know if anyone's keeping track of that.
Yeah, I think that is one of the unintended consequences of this rent or SB 1482. We've had owners that had not raised rents for years, and now they're calling and saying, "Hey, maybe we better be raising these rents because we're capped." And it's not the most healthy way to proceed, but that's the way the law is, and that's what we have to follow.
And right, because if the base rent is so low, you feel like you could maybe never catch up because the CPI at 4% was extraordinarily high. It's not usually going to be that high. Does this apply only to apartment buildings?
Pretty much. There are exclusions in terms of the age of the apartment building, but single-family homes are generally exempt.
Okay. And then maybe a duplex would be exempt or an ADU?
No, I'm not sure they are. Believe I'd have to look it up, Mark, and see.
Okay.
I think an owner-occupied duplex with an owner on one side may be exempt, but another one, you kind of every time the question comes up, you got to hit the codes and double check and make sure you're doing it right.
Right. What you just quoted sounded familiar, but like you say, things change. So in your specific situation, if you own a duplex, if you live in one side or you don't live in one side, you better double check to see if this rent cap would apply. So we're looking at now some new laws for, you know what? Why don't we take a commercial break and we'll come back with new laws beginning January 1st, 2022. We'll take a look at what's coming, what you should be prepared for. And then we have some issues about mandatory water saving and some fines. SB 60 authorizes a city to impose fines up to $5,000. My guest is Ron Wolf from Ron Wolf & Associates, property manager here in Santa Barbara, managing apartments, homes, commercial units, for how many years, Ron?
Well, it probably started before you were born, Mark.
Stay tuned. You'll be right back.